Hallmark, Pornhub, not two names you usually hear associated, but in this episode of Of Record, you will.
Of Record is a podcast focused on the marketing and advertising industry from the perspective of two industry experts. Hosts Matt Farrar and Joe Clements are co-founders of Strategic Digital Services, a digital marketing firm based in Tallahassee, Florida, and founded in 2014. I'm Matt Farrar.
I'm Joe Clements.
And I'm Rebecca Romero.
And this is the Podcast of Record.
Hey, everybody. Back again, the third episode in like 10 days. We're making up for lost time here. We have producer Kirsten in the studio.
What's up?
And co-host Helen filling in for co-host Jack, co-host Rebecca, and co-host Matt.
Hello.
We're going deep onto the bench today to make sure we have some players on the field. So first item of the day, I was sitting getting fitted for contacts and scrolling through Instagram, and I noticed a Chive article. Which, by the way, Chive TV in a bar. Have you guys seen Chive TV?
Oh, yeah.
What a great source of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
I would pay for that subscription at home if they offered it to, you know, not public locations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Topic for a different time. Anyway, I saw they had an article about Pornhub releasing its 2021 year in review. Now, the internet was built by pornography. Pornography famously has driven a lot of the developments on the internet, including streaming video, high-speed internet. The list goes on and on. If you're interested, I would say Google it, but I would also be careful about Googling anything related to that term, as it's likely to surface things that aren't safe for you to see. So you guys want to guess the top country for porn searches in the United States? Or in the world? I just gave it away,
you
didn't
just gave
I?
It away.
It's the United States by a long shot. people in the United States, at least 2.5 times more volume for porn related searches, you know, at least on Pornhub, than the UK, which is second, Japan, third, France, Italy. Of course, in China and India, porn is not legal. So there are no searches there for it at all.
There's a black market.
Yeah.
It has to be.
I'm sure. Well, I'm sure it's just not, you know, internet search. It's just like, you know, underground DVDs. Right. So the odd thing about this to me, have you guys seen the rankings of the top searches?
No.
Okay. So let me explain. One is why we're even talking about this, other than the scandalous nature of it. And it makes for enticing listening if we put it in the show title, because all you perverts will listen, because I know you're perverts, because Gross. You can look at Google Trends and see how searches for porn or sex compared to everything else on the internet. Is I think there's a connection between what people are searching on Pornhub and if you are selling anything to do with romance, with dating, with appearance, with attraction, so makeup, clothing, resorts, things like this. I think tie very closely into sexual interest. And so this can be an indicator for marketing to those things. Also, I think in some ways an indicator for things society is lacking, and we'll get into that. So the number one, so this is in Japan, you know, I think driving this mostly, but hentai. Do you guys know what hentai is?
Oh, yeah.
It's like anime porn.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know how real people are supposed to compete with animated figures, but
you can't.
Yeah.
That's what's enticing about it.
Well, this is how civilization collapses, because people start to prefer sexual partners who are cartoon characters.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, totally opposite end of the spectrum is romance. So people going to the Pornhub search term and typing in romance. So you have what I think are probably dudes searching for like anime porn, and then most likely women with number two putting just romance in front of everything. So it's like romance, fill in the blank. I'm not sure if that fundamentally changes the search, but it's just coding for like the interest, I think, from women. Number three, and look, maybe this is just because of the lockdowns.
I think it is.
Probably. But number three is group sex.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Definitely lockdowns. Yeah.
People looking to get back out there again, missing contact with other people. So, you know, why not make it? We're all vaccinated. Why not make it a group affair?
Orgies.
What? Orgies. Yeah. Or FFM and MMF. I don't actually know what those mean.
Oh, wait. I'm going to look at that. Let's see. FFM.
Oh, interesting. This says in the US, group sex was the fourth most popular search among women.
Oh, wait. MMF was the other one?
Uh-huh.
Think about it. I didn't have to Google it. I
don't even know.
Female,
oh,
man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're picking your algebraic equation of the parts you're plugging into your threesome.
Some people like it one way.
Okay.
And other people aren't so much about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, you learn something new every day.
Especially about porn.
All right. What are your guys' preference now?
HR?
Alex?
Alex isn't here.
Alex is gone, but he'll listen to this when he edits it.
True.
Man, number four, fitness?
Oh, that makes sense.
That checks
too.
Out too.
Yeah.
I mean, this has to be just a bunch of dudes that are in the gym looking at women that they have no chance with and then going to the locker room and searching yoga or exercise or gym.
Well, I think the fitness physique is so much like the rage right now.
Right.
Like, yeah, you know, I feel like
the gym shark girl.
Yeah, exactly. It's like men and I mean, let's shit. Even women are not like it. You know, you think about like the early 2000s or something like that. It was like big old fake boobies. Like that was like what was in like big old hourglass figure. Now people are really into like the real like slim fit kind of sort of physique. I don't know. I think that probably explains why it's number four.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're going to have sexual fantasies, why not have them about people who have like a great squat?
Yeah. That butt game.
Number five, swapping. Searches for swap and swapping grew by 170% with swinger and swinging trended in the summer with a 120% increase. Cuckold is up by 168% and cheating up by 93%.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The cheating one's an interesting one.
I'm not sure this is the show where we unpack what that means for society.
But it might be later.
I'm going to blame COVID for all of that.
You know, I have a feeling the weirdness existed pre-COVID. There is also the specific searches by state of standout to me. Iowa really into Harley Quinn searches.
Okay, am I dumb? I don't know what that means.
Harley Quinn is the Batman character.
Oh, it's literally like just Joker's literally girlfriend. Harley Quinn.
It's
Harley
literally, Quinn. Okay, I thought that meant something else.
No.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, good.
You just got back from Nevada, Kirsten?
Yeah.
Oh, their big thing is twerking.
Yeah, that checks.
Yeah.
That does check out.
What's Florida's?
Yeah.
BBC. Texas is Thick Latina.
What is BBC?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that on here. But you can Google it.
I'm going to Google that real quick. God damn it, Florida.
Man, North Carolina is penis pump. South Carolina is vibrator.
I can't even Google this.
Oh, God. Virginia is dirty talk.
What's the most tame one you saw?
Yeah.
Of the state by state. And this, I'm actually looking at the Chive article. I'm not even looking at the Pornhub /insights where the full data repository is. The most tame one on here, Strip in Arizona, Mormon in Utah.
That checks.
Giantess in Idaho, Quickie in North Dakota, Cartoon in Minnesota.
That checks out.
Yeah.
What's Alaska's?
Morning sex.
I don't see sunlight.
Yeah.
Hawaii is amateur wife.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe they're searching the cheating too. DC is vintage.
What does that even mean?
I don't know in this context.
Is that like when you like, you know, like the man walks in with a top hat on and is like,
"M'lady,
hey, get on the bed."
Hey, my dear.
M'lady.
I'm just taking the train in. He has a mid-Atlantic accent.
And he's like, I gotta go to the oil field tomorrow.
Why is he at the oil field?
Yeah, that's my question.
That's what like old people named Cornelius like do for a living. They're like, oh, the oil rig.
Are you thinking of There Will Be Blood?
I was thinking of war. Like maybe they have to go back to
war. I'm going off to the wall.
Yeah. But oil field works too.
We're going off to the wall.
Sure.
Any other comments on this? I just think it's interesting what people are searching and what they think is the relative anonymity of the internet, but which is totally not anonymous at all.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
I think people are more, they're freaks now after COVID.
After COVID.
I think everybody let their freak flag fly during the summer because you're like, I'm locked up.
I don't know what to do.
Nothing to do. I'm either here with my partner or I'm looking to get real freaky or I'm trying to get freaky with my partner.
Uh-huh.
And I think that it normalized it for a lot of people.
Yeah. So 2021, people just took it to the next level.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were like, wait, you're a freak? I'm a freak.
People in Idaho were just like, I don't want regular size women. I want giant women.
And then there's a guy next door said, hey, me too.
Yeah.
And
like, hey, are you animated?
Yes. And someone was like, I just watched some great hentai. And his friend goes, oh, my God, I love hentai.
Please
too.
Share.
Who's your favorite? That's probably how those conversations went. So
that is probably 100% how those consultations went. Because two dudes were like, who's your favorite hentai character?
This is a great sexual liberation for a lot of people. So congratulations on the sex.
I mean, is animated porn liberation?
I mean, maybe for some people. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell people what sex is good for them or what they enjoy. I mean, like some people like touching feet. Like,
oh, foot jobs was in there. It was New York.
That checks out too.
God, what is wrong with New York? Sorry, if anyone's from New York. I'm just, y'all need to get it together.
The cartoon stuff is, civilization can't continue if people just want to have sex with cartoons.
It's okay, but like people in Japan have been marrying cartoons for a while.
Oh,
now.
Well, you need to look at Japanese birth rates.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a collapsing civilization.
Sure. You can't reproduce with a cartoon.
That is correct. Yeah. So I'm not sure what the segue is here, but we will get to Hallmark soon, I promise.
Yeah.
The other trend, and we're not getting too technical in this episode on stuff, just some trend stuff we have kind of seen at the end of the year. We've all seen this recently, is the trend in like Western interest, like old West stuff. So Western shows like Yellowstone being the top show on TV, or Western wear, Western clothing, cowboy hats are making a comeback, flannels,
cowboy boots.
Like you guys can't see, but I'm wearing a flannel right now.
Mm-hmm.
Flannels, cowboy boots. All this is resurgent right now.
Yeah.
So I took to the Google Trends with Western wear just to see. And you know what you find out with Western wear? Is that every December searches for Western wear peak. And I think that's because people are going on cold weather vacations.
Yeah,
maybe they're going skiing. And so they're looking for like the cowboy hat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that trend over the course of this year has not followed that same pattern. Searches for Western wear have been going up consistently since last January.
Wow.
And so they are at their peak. We are at peak Western wear search volume over the last 5 years. So what I wanted to get into with you guys, or ladies, is it offensive to call you guys? I don't know.
No, that's your northern.
Yeah.
Northern.
That's your northern accent.
You guys.
Yeah, you guys.
Guys.
Is why?
Why? I think it's TikTok. 100%.
TikTok, make the case.
Western wear is all over my feed. All of the influencers are wearing Western wear. Mm-hmm. In fact, I bought a pair of pink cowgirl boots because I saw this girl wearing pink cowgirl boots with hearts on them.
Uh-huh.
But not only that, like there have been accessories made. I saw some on my Instagram Explore page the other day. Like you can buy accessories for your cowgirl boots now.
Oh, you can buy accessories for the hats. Like,
yeah, you can. But I've never seen it for the boots until this year. And it's like small boutiques.
Mm-hmm.
But like making you can get like little initials to put on your cowgirl boots.
Oh, that's a
like
really charms. Good business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like everywhere. I've never seen it before. Mm-hmm. But like pink ones and like purple ones, like super girly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've seen it like skyrocket since January of this year, like all over my TikTok For You page.
And that would track with what's going on in the Google search volume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kirsten, what say you about the rise of Western wear? And I think the Western trend overall.
So when I was in Vegas last week, everybody dressed like that. And I've never been to Vegas, so maybe that's just what people do in Vegas. But I mean, you would have thought there was like a huge country convention.
Was there? Because there is a big like Western wear convention that happens in Vegas in November, December.
Let's say maybe. Like I wasn't aware, but like everybody had I wore my hat the whole time I was there. And people were coming up and being like, where'd you get the hat? I like the hat.
And I don't know, like, and when I was even on the plane, I was like, I kind of want to buy some like cowgirl boots. Like, mm-hmm. they look comfy. They yeah. look like you can kind of wear them with whatever. I had to get new jeans out there, and I went in and I like bypassed all the skinny jeans like immediately, and I got like bootcut jeans. Like, I was not even like processing anything else in that store. So I really like it. I like the trend, of
Me
course.
Too.
But I also think this kind of started, and this, I don't know if this is going to be controversial. I think that Lil Nas X kind of started
yes,
it.
Yes, totally agree.
Oh, interesting.
The Old Town Road yeah. thing, yep. I think that kicked it off. And I think it was like Coachella that year, whatever. Like everybody
Definitely.
Was dressed in that, like the assless chaps and shit. Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Was that Coachella 2 years ago or was it this last one?
It was definitely before COVID.
That's what I thought. Because then, like, if you see during COVID too, Western wear, like towards the end of COVID,
mm-hmm.
became popular again.
Yeah.
But nobody could go to that Coachella because it was about to shut down. Like, the world was about to shut down.
Mm-hmm. So I agree with you guys on both accounts. I think TikTok is a big part of propagating it. I think a reason it's hit such huge volume mainstream is because I think the West was already very popular among millennials and Gen Zs. We've talked mm-hmm. about this multiple times, that mm-hmm. if you cut a boomer loose, they'd go to Florida. If you cut a millennial or Gen Z loose, they're going to show up in like Boise, Idaho.
Yes.
Or Denver.
Or Denver, mm-hmm. right? So I think there was already a draw to those locations. That was already an interesting place people wanted to live. Then I think what COVID did is it pulled a lot of your influencers off of the West Coast and then put them in the West, or put their friends yeah, in the West. So it definitely. Put their friends in Bozeman and Salt Lake City and Missoula and Boise and Boulder. And so you had these fashion influencers, celebrity influencers spending more time in the Intermountain West, where they were picking up on those fashions and then bringing them back to their social media accounts, add in Yellowstone. So you have this pop culture phenomena oriented around it, where, by the way, a big part of Yellowstone is like showing off the clothes they're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch, the wardrobes are really specific to each character. So I think the combination of those items, and you have COVID, which kind of just releases people like, oh, outdoors is what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is what put it on steroids.
Well, totally forgot. Kim and Kanye West bought their house in mm-hmm. Jackson Hole too during yeah. COVID.
Yep.
Jeffree Star.
Jeffree Star's house is there.
And Shane Dawson yeah, moved he to just, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are moving mm-hmm. out west. And then, like, I was going to say the same thing about the outdoors thing. I mean, there was like a whole bunch of months where the only thing we could do was go outside.
Yeah.
So I do think with this generation of people, like, we're going to probably be a very avid outdoorsy group for mm-hmm. quite a while.
And I think the Western wear trend symbols like space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have room, you can go outside, you don't have to worry about being around a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of psychological things going on there.
A lot of freedom.
Yeah.
Do you think Western wear is psychologically, you know, so athleisure was about like comfort, mm-hmm. right? Like, what is the Western wear trend about signaling? Is
comfort.
It
comfort? You can wear jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Jeans are comfortable. You can wear boots. Cowboy boots are generally uh-huh. comfortable. They're leather. You break them in and they're supposed to be like a super comfortable shoe. They're also like a work shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally.
So versatility.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. You can still like style it really well, so it works in multiple like outfits.
So I think versatility is definitely there. I think it is like the Western wear is like the rugged individualist uniform.
That's what I was yeah. going to say.
So there's some very like individualistic symbolism going on in it. What else do you see in it, Kirsten?
I was going to say, I think it makes someone look like tougher. Like,
ooh, that's yeah. what I was going to say.
And that's an attractive trait, I think, in anybody, is that like when you see someone roll up with a cowboy hat, I mean, you're looking at them like mm-hmm. doesn't matter who they are. Like, there's something about them like, this guy's wearing a cowboy hat.
So it is a weird, I'm not sure if it is a response to the androgyny fashion movement or if it is in line with the androgyny fashion movement. And so what I mean by that is a lot of core, you know, stylish things are like, there's no difference between men and women's clothing. Men mm-hmm. and women are wearing the same thing. When you look at Western wear, it is interesting because on the one hand, Western wear would appear to be, you would think, like very masculine. Mm-hmm. You assume Western wear is cowboy, but on the other, Western wear for women can be sexy.
Yeah.
So it it's like the same stuff. It's the same jeans, the same shirts, same belt buckles, same hats, different fits. You know, the way the jeans fit or the way the shirt fits. And mm-hmm. so I don't know if it's a response to the androgyny fashion or something that is a, you know, going along with it. What do you guys think? Is Western wear an androgynous fashion or is so. It counter? Yeah. Go ahead.
I would say so. Only, I don't know. I would say yes, because, you know, you're both wearing cowboy hat. Even like men's jeans for mm-hmm. women are more in style now. So that kind of plays a part in it. But like men's shirts, you're wearing button downs, you're wearing flannels, super oversized. If you're a girl, mm-hmm. you're a guy, probably fitted, but you're still wearing a men's flannel, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Cowboy hats, they all fit the same pretty much.
Yeah.
Whether you have a big head or a small head. What am I, boots?
Mm-hmm.
Even men's shoes are becoming more like popular and in style for women.
Yeah.
So you can buy men's or women's cowboy boots. Mm-hmm. They're probably looking shoes. The same. Yeah, exactly. Me too. Dude shouldn't feel you. Dude shoes.
So, I mean, and maybe this is because I'm old now, but I don't find most of the androgynous fashions attractive on women. I do find Western wear attractive on women.
I was interesting. I have an actual a counterpoint to that. Mm-hmm. I think that Western wear kind of brings back a like traditional conservative feel. Like when you see someone wearing Western clothes, you kind of feel like at home on the range, mm-hmm. traditional values, family, like living off the land. Mm-hmm. I think it might actually be a little bit the opposite. I don't know.
The opposite
of like it being like unisex, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I think that it kind of like plays into the more traditional.
Interesting. So you roles. Would say it's a conservative fashion. Mm-hmm. And so that can be confused for unisex because it's not overtly revealing on women.
Right.
Right. The shirts aren't super low cut or super high cut, even though I guess you do have the belly shirts and Western wear for women.
Yeah. I mean, sure. You can do whatever yeah. with it.
But you can like, put on your club Western wear, obviously. Yeah.
The diamonds, a little fringe. Uh-huh. Like you can, you know, but.
But compared to like what, say, urban wear has been for 30 years, it is much less revealing.
Oh yeah.
So more conservative dress, but still distinctive men to women, even though none of us seem to be able, other than fit, to describe why Western outfits for women seem to be complementary to women's figure and complementary to male figures. I do not know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Let's tie this into a marketing piece.
Okay.
What does this trend tell you about how you would, or maybe are, shaping marketing on behalf of a client?
Maybe that it doesn't have to be so divided. Like, maybe you can market it as an equal kind of sort of thing. Like, if country wear is, you know, appealing to both and looks good on both, maybe that means you don't have to tailor your marketing so hard to be for women or so hard towards men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
And I think with the Western wear, so it's interesting. I think what you could get away with in a lot of piece of advertising, you can't do this. You have to tailor the look to to different audiences.
Mm-hmm.
I think with a Western wear vibe, depending on what you're selling, you could target that old people, like older, so 40 plus, 30 and younger, and probably do it urban and rural areas in some cases.
Yeah.
So I think it actually gives you a lot of latitude in terms of where you can apply it.
Do you think that people that don't ironically wear country wear, like actually think it's a cool like trend?
I think that's how it started.
Yeah.
They were wearing it ironically?
Yeah. Definitely.
Interesting.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But I think it's caught on because I think it has all these psychological subtexts we were just talking about.
Right. Yeah.
And so if you have a brand and you reposition that brand a little bit to embrace like this Western workwear look,
mm-hmm.
I think that's what this tells me to do with, you know, what this would inform me to do with some clients.
Whenever I think of what Kirsten just said, I think of when, who was it? Britney Spears and the guy wore the denim outfit mm-hmm. to the VMAs in like 2003 or mm-hmm. something. That was totally ironic. Like Britney Spears is the last person yeah. I would think of to wear a denim, like all denim suit, yeah. cowgirl hat to the VMAs, rhinestone choker. And now it's like everyone's leaning back into that. mm-hmm. ironically. But now, like Joe said, like the psychological effects are starting to happen.
Yeah. It's individualistic. Yeah. You have space. It's got versatility. You know, there's two brands that have stood out to me recently has repositioned well into this space. The first is Orvis. Because when you think of Orvis, you just think, oh, this is like old man fishing gear. I was in an Orvis store recently, and the clothing stock they had was like nice, modern, young, high-end. Mm-hmm. Very clearly competing with Patagonia. I would describe Orvis as like, you know, Patagonia is for people on like the environmental left, like, or Orvis is for people on like the conservation right, probably. And then Eddie Bauer. I was in an Eddie Bauer store I've never been in. And I was like, oh, this is nicer stuff. And I think both those brands are well positioned to capture market share in the Western wear trend.
Yeah.
And I think what's going to actually get cut a little bit is the outdoor high-end technical apparel. So the, you know, puffy North Face jacket.
Yeah.
I think those are going to get cut. I think some of that stuff ends up getting cut into by the Western wear look.
I noticed when I was in Phoenix, I had to pick up some clothes and I went into Dick's and it was like Carhartt everywhere. Everywhere was Carhartt.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Murdoch's.
Mm-hmm. True.
So, yeah, I think Carhartt is another one that you're seeing more and more often. That ties into the workwear look.
Mm-hmm.
So before we move on to Hallmark movies, anything else you guys have on the workwear trend? Do you see it staying for the next year, or is this kind of flame out by the spring?
There's an interesting movement, I think, a lot, especially for women's clothes, that I think that it's going to be a more like modest look, like we saw with Paris Hilton getting married with her dress and stuff like that. We've been kind of doing this like overly like sexual liberation shit for so long. I think that it's starting to be like, well, what's kind of sexy now is being a little more modest. So yeah, I think it's going to carry out for a while. It might change a little bit, but I think that for the next 10 years you're going to see like a real big switch in women's wear, especially. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
So maybe there's a transition I can make here.
Because
I feel like there's a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah.
That could be written about the main character. And she is a, I don't know, runs a Western wear boutique in Whitefish, Montana. Like, or, you know, some fictional ski resort in Idaho.
Sure.
Right. So over the weekend, I was exposed to more Hallmark Christmas movies than I would have liked to have been.
Interesting.
And ended up down a rabbit hole on that whole industry. And by the way, there's, I think I mentioned this on the podcast last week, there's a Business Wars series now about Hallmark Christmas movies and Hallmark versus Lifetime versus Netflix. Interesting listen on how that genre developed over the last 10 years. So it's a relatively new genre of these made for TV Christmas movies where Hallmark will do 50 in a year, which is an unbelievable pace of production. I don't know how there's enough people working in movie production to make all the Netflix, Lifetime, and Hallmark Christmas movies. Like literally 3/4 of Hollywood must just do Christmas movies.
Well, you gotta think, to tie this back, how many people probably work in the production industry for porn?
Very little, because the production value's low.
I mean,
what do you rent an Airbnb house? Put up some ring lights?
But like, they're pumping out videos literally all every day.
Okay, good point. It's got volume. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, clearly there's a market for that production. But okay.
I mean, yeah, clearly from the from the Pornhub insights.
Right.
So Hallmark Christmas movies specifically. Very strict formula. So it's a 9-act TV formula with a lot of very nuanced requirements of the writers. And I was reading an interview with two writers in Entertainment Weekly. They're like, well, can't be too sexual. They can have like one kiss. every scene has to have snow, not dirty snow, always fresh snow. Snow is never in doubt. And you can't use the word crazy or stupid or dumb.
Huh.
Weird.
Has to be very, very safe, very vanilla. And then the other piece about those Hallmark movies is it is really specific about the timing of when things happen because they're still commercials. So those nine acts in the 2-hour movie line up with the commercial break. So mm-hmm. you have to end everyone on a cliffhanger. And what I was listening, you know, watching, or I'm just reading the writer's interview. And what they said is they can basically sketch one of these out in a day and a half and then write it in 2 days.
That makes sense.
Do you know how much Hallmark Lifetime pay for a script?
How much?
Yes.
I'll say they pay $8,000.
No.
Higher or lower?
Higher.
Whoa. Oh, I was going to say $250,000.
$250,000? It's about $100,000 is what Hallmark will pay for a script.
Why are we not in this business?
I don't know.
Well, we're about to be.
The listeners are about to find out how good we are. So I found a post actually on Reddit that lays out the formula for a Hallmark movie. And by the way, I don't understand two things. Why is there not more product placement in these Hallmark and Lifetime movies?
Can they afford it?
Who?
Oh, like maybe.
Well, I mean, brands could definitely pay Hallmark to do product placement, right? Now, maybe Hallmark doesn't want to share the spotlight, but there's no reason why every car shouldn't be like a Subaru or a Ford.
Yeah.
Or all of the clothes shouldn't be from
Carhartt.
Yeah. Pick your genre. Like, yeah. All the soda shouldn't be Coke. I don't understand why there's not more product placement in these.
Yeah.
Secondly, I don't understand because the average budget for these is only $2 to $3 million, which sounds expensive, but it's very low.
That's really low.
And there's commercials that cost $2 million. Yeah. There are 30-second ads that cost a couple million dollars to produce. Mm-hmm. So what I'm wondering about this is why aren't more brands just making and distributing their own Christmas movie?
Ooh. Didn't someone do that?
KFC did a Romeo's movie. Yeah.
God, that was it. I was like, hold on. This is vaguely familiar. KFC.
Why wouldn't Starbucks just make their own Christmas movie? Why wouldn't?
Because they can't even make a red cup without people freaking out.
That's true, but it would get a lot of attention.
Sure.
What's another brand you think could do a convincing Christmas movie? Kohl's.
Ooh, true.
Yeah. Publix would actually be.
I was going to say like
a grocery store.
A high-end department store should do one.
That's how a lot of our Christmas traditions got started is high-end department
Macy's
stores.
Macy's should do one because Macy's is known for Christmas.
Yeah. What's a brand that could do it, but you wouldn't ordinarily think should do it? It'd be totally out of left field.
Ooh.
You know what could be weird? As if like a hospital put money into it.
Oh, interesting. Good.
That would be an interesting. I don't know. I don't know how you would quite market that, but that's pretty ballsy, I think.
Yeah.
I was going like funeral home, but
funeral home. That's risky.
A Christmas. What would you call that? The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
You know what's it about the cost of these though? A couple $1 million. I mean, that sounds expensive. Maybe. But it's not in the grand scheme of like content production for something like that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into what the Hallmark movie plot structure is, because I think it actually works for a lot of other things. So act one, the intro, someone, usually a woman, is leading a happy life. She's in the big city. Maybe she's moving home. Maybe she's moved home and she's starting her boutique or bed and breakfast. Next, number two, the complication requiring the lead character to travel somewhere, home, small town, the big city. Then we have the chance encounter, the soon-to-be romantic interest, usually with negative or neutral ambivalent, at best, feelings. This is often an ex, long-lost first love. Sometimes it's a family friend, sister's groom, best man, etc. The challenge, the situation gets more challenging and somehow the romantic interest is there and a part of it. The warm-up, additional encounters between the lead character and romantic interest result in a warming up of the relationship. The near kiss. By the way, happens in act six.
Checks out.
They finally get over that hump, find themselves outside, and get interrupted just at the last moment before their lips meet. Got to build that tension.
Yeah.
You guys know what comes after the near kiss?
They have sex. Wait, no.
No, it's a Hallmark movie.
Sorry. Your mind out of the porn hub gutter from segment one.
Jeez.
This girl. To be happy.
Somebody beat her mic. The misunderstanding, Kirsten, is what comes next. That is where the lead or romantic interest overhears part of a conversation or observes some romantic looking situation and thinks, oh, this was never going to work out anyways.
Classic.
Then we have the reconciliation. They muster up the courage to tell the other how they feel and to say sorry. And finally, the happy ending. They agree to spend their days and years together, and Christmases happily ever after.
Should have had sex.
I mean, maybe that can happen in the Netflix romance, but it doesn't happen in the Hallmark one, yes, Kirsten. Nah. We should have watched tentacle porn together.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's hentai. Okay, so yesterday, I had a little bit of time. So I wrote out my own Hallmark Christmas movie pilot script. Ooh. Not really a script. What do you call it? An outline.
Okay.
What's an outline called in movie production?
Skeletons.
No, it's not a skeleton. There's an actual name for it.
A rough draft.
It's not. We are really bad at what we do.
I just do it. I don't need to have technical terms for it. As long as I can do it.
So I wrote one, but then I thought, you know what would be make it more fun? Making it an ad lib.
Oh,
woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Let's go.
So, Helen, I want you to read these out, and I need to get a drink of water.
Okay.
But go ahead and start without me. And so, Kirsten, you'll just do some of the names, and I'll be right back.
I'm so excited.
Okay. We'll play some hold music as Kirsten goes through.
All right.
All right. Am I reading out what you have to tell me the answers to?
I am gonna guess so.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, Kirsten. Christmas noun one. Give me a Christmas noun.
Reindeer.
Ooh. Number between 1 and 12.
6.
Hey, that's my favorite number.
Me too.
Trendy millennial Gen Z female name.
Violet.
Violet. Ooh, that's a
great one.
I love that name.
That's a great name.
Violet. Shout out to Violet and Scout, the twins I watch on TikTok every minute.
All right, Joe. So far, we have reindeer, the number 6, and Violet.
Reindeer.
Yup.
6.
Violet.
Noun associated with Christmas. It's kind of unfair because I wrote it, but I actually don't remember what order I put it in. So,
hater.
A noun associated with Christmas. Let's say fruitcake.
Fruitcake is a good one.
I love Mad Libs.
Trendy or artisan job?
Influencer.
We did influencer yesterday. Yeah. No, we need something more artisan.
This is going to be a professional rock tumbler.
Ooh, perfect.
What's a professional rock tumbler?
It's when you put rocks in like a little jar and it tumbles them until they get smooth and shiny.
Joe is not on TikTok, you can tell right now.
Does she tumble these rocks for her Western wear boutique?
Yeah. She sure does.
You sure could do that.
Yeehaw.
Trendy city.
New York.
No,
we gotta do something.
It's gotta be snowy. It's gotta be in the mountains.
Let's do Bozeman.
Oh yeah, Bozeman.
Family member. So title of a family member: mother, father, cousin, sister, brother, aunt, uncle,
grandfather.
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 Father Christmas.
Adjective.
Lame.
Is lame an adjective? I think so. Let's go with lame.
Yeah. Cross my fingers.
Yeah. No, I guess lame can be a noun and an adjective.
That is lame.
Trendy millennial or Gen Z male name.
Braxton.
Carter.
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 Carter wearing that Carhartt. Love it.
Important sounding job.
Oh man, I did have a good one yesterday. Let's do, what's another? Director of strategic
initiatives. Another trendy city.
Austin.
Austin is a good one.
I don't know if it snows in Austin.
It did last year.
Huh? There we go.
Important sounding type of business.
Like just a name of a business?
Type of a business, yeah.
Oh, healthcare administration.
Healthcare. I like healthcare.
Healthcare solutions.
Healthcare solutions. Screw it. We'll put it in there. Healthcare. Healthcare solutions consulting.
There you go. Boom. It's a lobbying firm for some healthcare in one of these
book genre.
Oh wait.
Well, obviously hentai fantasy.
Yeah, I was gonna say erotica, but
hentai fantasy. We got to make the tie-ins. Color.
Maroon.
Animal.
Ostrich.
This is going to be so weird. Can't wait for this.
A type of real estate development. So apartments, condo, strip mall.
Let's say...
Helen had a good way to say it. Yeah. She said tiny house community, so we can't use that one.
Damn, I know. That's exactly what I was like. Hmm.
Student housing.
Hostel.
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 Hostel. Hostel. Name of body part?
You're humorous.
Mm-hmm. Humorous.
I don't even know where that is. I think it's in your arm.
It is.
Oh, good.
A negative emotion.
Pissed.
A verb. Spank.
So
perfect.
Christmas noun. Number three.
Mistletoe.
This is a number between 1 and 100.
64.
Another Christmas noun.
Oh my gosh. Sack.
Sack. A Christmas food. What do you call those like sausages? Those,
Vienna
like,
sausages?
Smoked, no, the smoked sausages you get for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Pigs in a blanket?
No.
It's like the actual
cured sausage, smoked sausage. What do you call it?
They're like the little
the gift the sausages.
Ones. Yeah.
All right, we're just going to say gift sausages.
Yeah, why not? And if anyone would like to send us some of those gift sausages.
We would love
those.
Another Christmas now?
Oh, God.
Inflatable. Inflatable yes. What?
Inflatable Buddy the Elf.
Inflatable Buddy the Elf.
There's always someone in yeah. your neighborhood with
that
one of
that has
those.
The Buddy the Elf, yeah. And an affectionate verb.
Caress.
Caress.
It's gonna be good.
All right, how do we want to do this, Helen? Do you want to read it, or I'll read it, and then I'll just stop and you say the blank word? Can we pull that off? Does that we take can, too much coordination?
Let's try.
Okay.
Let's do a dry run.
You ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
It was just...
Reindeer.
No.
No, you said in time for...
Oh, wait,
one.
Hold
you
on.
Stop.
I already messed this up. It's so bad. Okay, Christ. The title of the script is In Time For...
Reindeer.
It was just...
6.
Days Before Christmas and...
Violet.
Busily prepared for the...
Fruitcake.
Festival. Name a female?
Yeah, I said Violet.
Oh, no, but it's in here again.
Oh, my God.
You got to follow. You got to follow.
Where am I? Oh, I see.
Second paragraph.
Okay.
I said Violet. Once you've said it, I'll just say it. So Violet loved her career as a... Turn to your artisan name.
Yeah, yeah, right there, though.
It was supposed to, was it the rock
She was
tumbler?
A rock tumbler.
Oh, she was the rock tumbler.
Violet loved her career as a rock tumbler in Bozeman, but her grandfather kept pushing her to settle down and start a family. The holidays had been special for Violet growing up, but now her
lame
career was everything. That worked well.
Rocks are lame.
But in walked. What's the male name?
Carter.
But in walked Carter.
Director of Strategic Initiatives.
From Austin.
That is so
that
perfect.
That checks out Carter, so well.
Carter was in Bozeman to visit his family for the holidays. Carter's family owned a
healthcare solutions consulting
firm in Bozeman. While Carter worked as a strategic initiatives director, his real passion was writing hentai fantasy novels. Every day, while Carter visited the Maroon Ostrich Cafe, where Violet worked, they saw each other every day and even made humorous contact. That part of the arm, not that it was funny. But it was not until Carter walked out the door and slipped on ice right in front of Violet that they met. One day, Violet told her other friend, do we pick a second millennial name?
We didn't.
Savannah, about Carter. Savannah was shocked and told Violet that Carter's family were the ones trying to turn the, what was your color?
Maroon Ostrich Cafe.
The Maroon Ostrich Cafe into a
hostel.
Into a hostel.
I'd eat there.
Why do they run a medical consulting company but are trying to, I don't know, whatever. It's a Hallmark movie. It doesn't have to make sense. At the
Reindeer
Festival. Well, no, what was the name of the festival?
The Fruitcake.
Yeah, Fruitcake Festival. The Fruitcake Festival, Violet confronted Carter about his family's plot. Carter tried to explain, but Violet said, I should have known this would never work. Carter tried to chase after her, but after... I can't read. Carter tried to chase after her, but the snowstorm picked up, and he lost track of her in the crowd. Gloomily, Carter sat on a park bench when a stranger with a red suit and a beard sat next to... by the way, I'm getting tongue-tied because I'm trying to read ahead and like see where the inserts are because we didn't draft this with the inserts in it. No one should ever hire us to make ad-libs.
Nope.
Or we just need more practice.
Yeah.
Sat next to him with the snow now falling, the stranger asked Carter why he looked so... What's that negative emotion, Helen?
Pissed.
Why he looked so pissed. The stranger gave Carter the advice that he just needed to tell Violet about his true feelings and how he really wanted to... What's the verb?
Caress?
Oh, caress with her more than anything.
Meow.
Was that the verb?
Caress?
No, I think that verb... Oh, yeah, you're right. That was caress. No, that was spank.
Spank.
I wanted to spank her more than anything.
Ow! Ow!
Inspired, Carter stood up and noticed the festival stage was all set up and the mayor was about to speak. Carter sprinted over the stage, leapt up and grabbed the mic. He said, Violet, you are my... Christmas noun?
Christmas noun too.
Reindeer?
You're my mistletoe?
You're my mistletoe.
Aww.
Oh, and I want to spend the next 64 years with you.
Oh, that's accurate.
Together we can carry on the tradition of lighting the... What's the Christmas noun there? Noun three.
Oh,
snack.
The sack.
Oh.
Lighting the sack.
Lighting the sack. And hanging gift sausage on the... What was the Christmas noun for?
We didn't pick one.
I thought we did.
I thought that was sack. I don't know, man.
We skipped one. We're bad at this. This segment is bad.
Let's just cut this whole thing out.
No, we're going with it. Out of the bundle of crowd ran Violet, who jumped on stage and caressed Carter. The crowd applauded. Carter's family were so joyous they agreed on the spot not to turn the
Maroon Ostrich
Cafe into a
hostel.
Violet and Carter lived happily ever after.
Well, that was a lot harder than it should have been.
Yeah. Wow. So I think I learned a lot about... we could sell this to Hallmark.
And they would probably take
it. This is as good as anything.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. Stop every scene. Absolutely. White out the entire time. You can't see anything. There's snow. Carter's obviously wearing flannel.
Of course.
Violet's wearing a cowboy hat.
Cowgirl.
Girl. All these movies in the summer?
They do.
They have to.
Yeah.
In Canada.
Christmas in Graceland was filmed in the summer.
In Canada.
Huh.
Yep.
Well, Christmas in July. You know Christmas what they mean?
Okay. I think that's our fun for this episode.
If you've made it this far, happy holidays.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
You did it.
Okay. So thank you for listening. If you listen this far, go ahead and leave a review about how botched the ad libs exercise was. We know, but we're not going to cut it because, you know, who knows? Maybe there's a Hallmark executive listening and like, hey, we want you to write our Christmas movies.
We promise we do better work than that.
I mean, well, if we had time.
Hell yeah.
Right. If we could write the whole script. But that script outline was fine. It covered all the angles.
Yeah, it was good.
I used the 9X structure.
Yes, you did.
Anyway. We'll see if we get another episode in between now and the end of the year. Hopefully we do. But if not, we will be back in the new year with the next episode. Thanks, everybody.
Of Record is hosted and produced by me, Matt Farrar, Joe Clements, and Rebecca Romero, with producer Alex Reinhardt. Of Record is recorded at Graybridge Studios in Tallahassee, Florida. This episode was edited by producer Alex Reinhardt. Our theme music is composed and performed by Rob Goki. Special thanks to our entire team at SDS here in Tallahassee. You can see more information about the show at our website, podcastofrecord.com. As always, we'd appreciate your reviews and ratings in your podcast app of choice. Those ratings and reviews help more people discover the show, which helps us keep delivering quality content each week. Thanks for listening.